Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe and hit the bell icon. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted to have a conversation with Michael Burkhardt. Michael, hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Fritz. Thanks for having me.
Now, allow me to introduce Michael. He's one of the founding members of Omdana, which is a very big global community of over 4,000 AI specialists and engineers. And he is a true global citizen. I would call him a digital nomad who's been working and living all over the world in Germany, the Netherlands, Sweden, Colombia, US, Japan, and Mexico, and more. So again, Michael, welcome to the show. Topic today, Omdana and what Omdana is doing with that very big network of AI engineers. Let me just begin with your own background before we go into Omdana. How did you start working? What's your background?
Yes, happy to share. Originally, I'm from Germany, so I did my bachelor in Germany. I started with business administration and economy. And then I was doing an exchange actually in the US, and I was living in an apartment in New York City, in a very large apartment close to the United Nations headquarters. And there were actually more than 30 people living in this apartment. So it was a very, very big complex, and I met many people from around the world. And that kind of opened up my mind. And then I decided to study abroad. And I did my master in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. And I did innovation and technology management. So I introduced a bit of technology. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of Python, a little bit of coding. And I got interested also in AI. And and I think that's my educational background. And then I worked for a few companies in Germany, which, you know, I actually did not enjoy that much. I can talk about it maybe a little bit later. And I decided to, you know, follow my own intuition, my own, you know, what my heart was telling me, basically what I feel like doing. And then I started my own experiments and projects. And that also then resulted at one point to Omdana. So I think that's my background in a nutshell.
Okay, that's good. So that resulted in Omdana. Again, that doesn't happen by itself. How did Omdana get formed? And maybe tell us what Omdana is.
Yes, sure. So I was actually in Japan. So I was actually in a temple outside of Kyoto. Kyoto is a large city in Japan, which is very interesting from a temple standpoint. And I was looking into, to be honest, I didn't know what to do. I was thinking, okay, should I follow, you know, my path working for the German type of companies that I was involved in, or should I try out my own things? I had these two voices in my head. Do this, this is the certain path. You know, you can do something here, or, you know, go into the unknown and try something out. And somehow in the temple, I decided to follow my intuition. And I realized that, you know, this fear that I had is worth exploring. And then I decided, actually, I said 1 year, I will try out my own type of projects, experiments, and we'll see where it leads me. So I gave me this 1 year. And then for 4 months, I was talking to many people, sharing ideas and concepts that I had in my mind, business ideas. And then I connected with actually Rudadrep Mitra, who is from India originally. Yes. And then we started to talk about many things not related to Omdana, actually. We started about meditation, and I learned also a lot from his background in entrepreneurship, because he has been doing many interesting things already. And then the idea of Omdana was something that came from a project that also was happening in India, actually, where a community of people, of engineers, data scientists, came together to build a solution in the renewable energy sector. And that was a quite successful project. So there were 40 to 50 engineers from remote areas, partly in India, who were interested in solving this problem. And Rudadrep was managing that problem. He was overseeing it. And I was also looking into it and learning from it. And that was a success. So the solution being built was a great success. It was a great community effort. The team was very excited. The partner was very happy with the results.
By the way, what's the definition? Yes. Michael, what's your definition of success in this case?
So in this case, it was built an AI model, which was from a technical standpoint very sophisticated. So there was no solution for this problem out there. And this community of engineers were able to go through collecting the data and building something very sophisticated for a team setting that was completely new. And even it was the result or the solution was shown to large organizations that we all know the names of. And they were very impressed by the results. And that made us then curious, okay, what's in there? And I was lucky to be able to participate and learn from this experience.
Okay, but you're describing, I would say, a more traditional model of local people getting together, fixing a problem and trying to sell or promote that. At a certain point, Omdena, which has now over 4,000 engineers around 100 countries in the world, something has changed in your thinking of Omdena that you say, okay, we're going to organize this differently and we're going to link it to the SDGs. How did that happen?
Yes, so Omdena was always about making an impact. Making an impact means both for the AI engineers and for organizations, because you need both. You need to have the people solving the problems and you need to have the organizations providing the problems. And Omdena, we are working a lot with startups, impact-driven startups. We are also working a lot with NGOs, smaller NGOs, but some also of the very large NGOs, like Save the Children and UN World Food Program and many other organizations. And it was always about finding problems where people are intrinsically motivated to address them, so where they really connect with the problem. And that's the key about Omdena. So when we have a project on our platform and it connects to a certain SDG, so let's say it connects to reducing hunger, then we have it on our platform, and then the community can apply to join the project. And then we get a certain number of applications per project. And then we select the team of 40 to 50 engineers who are most suitable to address the problem. And that's how it works. So it's really also not just a company in a traditional sense, but it's a community where people decide what type of work they want to do. And all is connected with making an impact.
Okay, so let me understand this. So I have a problem, or I think I want to solve this. Does that mean I can contact Omdena, say, hey, can your engineer solve this? And is that just like a normal traditional client-supplier relationship? It's just the way you organize it, but you provide a particular client a solution, or does it work differently?
Yes. So from the perspective of you as an organization, you can come to us and you say, okay, that's the type of problem that I have on my mind. This is what I want to solve. Those are the deliverables that I envision. And this is the data that is relevant for this. And then we at Omdena in the core team, we have a look at the project and we say, okay, this is something based on our experience, which suits the community. And then we would design an AI challenge, which is the 40 to 50 engineers working together, or a smaller type of project where there might be only a few engineers, 2 to 5 engineers working together, because you not always need 40 to 50 engineers to address a problem. And then we would put it on the platform and then we would receive the applications. We are quite open. So one very important factor is that the community decides, right? So it's if there's a project which gets less interest, and that means less number of applications, then that is okay. Then there are projects which get more than 500, 600, 700 applications within a week, which obviously the community connects more with. So there are more people interested in working it. So that's how it works. So depending on the nature of the project, we have an AI challenge or we have a smaller team, and the engineers get to work on interesting projects. They get access to opportunities. They grow in their career. They get speaking opportunities, mentorship opportunities, and many more. That's the collaborative aspect of it.
Great. So, and all these people, are they freelancers? Do they get paid for? Is this like a gig economy in the AI domain, or are they also for jobs?
For the AI challenge, the engineers volunteer to participate. Once the AI challenge has been completed successfully, then the engineers become part of our platform in a way that they get access to additional opportunities. That means paid projects, which I just mentioned, for smaller teams of 2 to 5 engineers, or the mentorship opportunities, access to courses, and they can run and they can organize their own local chapters, so they can become chapter leads. So the AI challenge is a way to also, for us, see what, you know, type of talent and who is really serious about going through such a challenge, because it's a full-fledged project, and it's a very, you know, we are addressing very complex new challenges, and you need to be able to show that you have the hard skills and soft skills, and also the motivation to, you know, step out, come out of your, you know, comfort zone, grow and overcome your fears and try something, right? And really grow through it. But you are supported. So it's not a competition. I want to emphasize on that. It's not a competition among teams of people where, you know, one person is competing against the other person. We have mentors in the community. We have groups. We have task managers. And it's all collaborative in nature. So if you are willing to work together, to collaborate and to open up and to ask also for help, then the community is happy to help. And that's what Omdena is really about. So it's a collaboration. It's not a competition.
Well, it's very dear, close to my heart, as you know, from previous discussions. I'm very much focused on community building as, I'd say, a management discipline. And was this something you picked up along the way? Because you described what your background is from an education, but all of a sudden you're working on quite a new way of managing organizations, and there are not many examples out there in the world.
Yeah, to be honest, my personal experience, I mean, coming from a background, German education in this sense, working for quite competitive companies, I realized that there's a lot of conditioning happening, a lot of conditioning that was happening in my mind on how I should do certain things and how I have to, you know, climb up the ladder and become better and get a new title and, you know, try to have, it starts with school, you know, better grades, and then you go to university and it's about grades, and then you are in a job and it's about making sure that your team performs better than all the other teams, So this mentality, to be honest, I was part of, and I thought that is normal.
Yeah.
But then I realized at one point that that's not normal. That's not what you need to follow through with. It's actually, to my understanding right now, it's not natural to do that. It creates a lot of, you know, pressure, stress, not just for yourself, but for everyone surrounding you. And I don't think that this is actually a life worth living to go through all of this. I don't think that this is how, you know, life should evolve. So, and I realized one, you know, one part of that I realized when I was in New York in this apartment with these 30 people coming from all kinds of places, with different backgrounds. And, you know, some people were struggling and some people were, had financial problems, and some people had problems with getting a job or language barriers. And all the people there were working together kind of like as a community. And I realized a lot about myself, but also about others. And that really opened me up. That cracked me up like a bit, okay, you know, reflect a little bit on what are you doing right now and how you want to pursue, you know, life overall. And then that manifested in Omdena. And as I said, I met Rudolf Drepp, and he has a very interesting open mind, and I learned a lot from him. And then Omdena started. We did a few projects, and it's just an experience of connection, connecting with people, learning from each other, inspiring each other, and working together. Yeah.
Great. Now, I'm curious. I know that already big organizations and institutes are finding Omdena to ask you to pick up a challenge. But on the whole community aspect, do you also now see that organizations are coming to you to find out how Omdena works as an organizational model?
I think that for the startups, what is most interesting is to actually, especially impact-driven startups, early stage startups who want to build interesting solutions, want to address problems connected to the SDGs. Many startups connect with the idea of AI for good. And for those, Omdena is very, very valuable to get started quickly, get access to the right talent, augment their own teams. And that's one group. The other group, which connects to your question, is NGOs, larger organizations, which are overthinking, I think, their models of running certain projects. There are hackathons happening, and there are also competitions happening. But what we've seen in many projects is that you need to have this true diversity of people. Let's say you want to solve a problem which is happening in a specific country. And we had projects, for example, in Latin America and also in Kenya, where it was essential to have people from the local problem context in the project. And this was very, very important. But at the same time, also people externally who were not connected to the problem directly brought in their experiences, because they are not biased in a way that they maybe be emotionally involved in the problem context. So what we try to always have is this level of diversity. And then organizations working with us, they saw that that is very powerful. And then we organize follow-up projects. And we also have right now our hiring. So organizations actually hire full-time engineers via Omdena, because they want to have their teams more diverse. And they saw it through running an AI challenge, for example. So that's a proof of concept. Okay, it works. Okay, now I get the idea, and now I can adopt that in my organization also.
Good. So I'm glad also you have the opportunity to share that knowledge with the rest of the world. And as mentioned in the beginning, you've lived and worked in lots of countries around the world. How did that help you do what you're doing at the moment?
One aspect is definitely to open up your mind. It's just experience is more powerful than the, let's say, the written word. If you read something in a book, that's a good start, and it gives you some ideas. But if you go into different places and you meet the people and you really understand the context on a deeper level, then that does something to you. So I would say experience is always the most important that you should, you know, prioritize. And in this way, I went to many places, you know, some places where, you know, the income is higher, some places where the income is lower, some places where it's more rule-based, like, let's say, Japan and Germany, some places where it's more flexible, more agile. And I learned all of this. But then what I also saw is that, you know, at the core, there's really no difference. I mean, in essentially all we humans, we want the same things in life. And the basic needs and wishes that we have are all the same, and doesn't matter where we come from. So this you can also read in a book. But if you really, you know, talk to people and you get to know each other's perspectives, then you really, it sinks in way deeper. So you really, it becomes more part of your being. And that's what I really, you know, learned from this. And that's what Ondena is also partly an expression of, you know, no labels. It's just an open community, people from around the world coming together and doing interesting things and showing that it works, right? Not just talking, but actually doing it. And that's what I would say regarding, you know, the traveling and how, yeah, I'm glad that I could meet people and, yeah, open up my own conditioning and break some rules that I had in my own mind. I'm still doing it.
There's some very wise and important lessons to learn, I think, in what you just shared there. By the way, does Ondena have a meaning or not?
Yeah, so Ondena, it's actually quite funny because when I was talking to Rudadrep, the CEO of Ondena, he was also quite interested in meditation. And OM is the universal, all-encompassing sound of the universe. So OM was just something that came to our mind. And then the O is a circle, right? So it's an element of connection. And it made sense from a logo perspective. So then we were looking for actually domains, and we found OM, and we found some other second part to the word. And then we bought a domain, and this domain turned out to be already, like the name was very close to a name of another company. Then we changed it into Ondena. And a few weeks later, we realized that in Hindi, Dena means to give. So it's Om, the all-encompassing, uniting sound of the universe, and Dena to give. But we didn't know that. But in retrospect, it made sense. So that's great, what the name stands for.
Yeah, great example of serendipity again. Now, do you see that the Ondena model, what you're doing, does that attract a certain type of people? So on one hand, you talked about diversity, but on the other hand, I can also imagine that this doesn't suit everybody and anybody in this world.
I haven't had a conversation with, you know, many people who said this is not for me. I think that's quite natural because people apply, and that's, you know, then the conversation that I see and I have. But what I can say is, I mean, overall, people who are interested in the unknown, let's say new challenges, where they really step out of, you know, their environment and do something new and grow through this quickly, and people who are interested in social good and environmental good, and who, you know, believe in work that goes beyond, you know, just, let's say, financial gains, right? Even though Ondena is, to be honest, it's a for-profit company and a social enterprise, so it's not a non-profit. But yeah, all the work that we are doing has to have a direct or indirect impact. And that's very important to us. So I think people who resonate with this and who are also interested in, you know, cultures and connecting with people from different backgrounds. They like this.
What are the 2-3 key questions you ask people who want to become a member of Omdena to check if they got what it takes? How do you select people?
So it's the hard skills, and that's the background in terms of, let's say, AI, so the technical background. Have they some coding experience? Have they completed already projects? So there needs to be a minimum practical experience that the engineers have. And we have people from junior level to senior level who have 10 plus years of experience. So we have all types of experience levels in the community. That's the technical aspect. Then the soft skills, what we asked for is obviously the communication ability, the ability to work in a team. And also if you have already done something with a social impact, that's also, let's say, a good sign because it shows that you have done already something in this realm and you know how it works and you are motivated and you will find yourself, you know, at home in Omdena. That's also one aspect. And I think, yeah, that's the most important. And it's an application form on our website that everyone can go through if they're interested.
Okay, now where's the, does Omdena have a headquarters? So somewhere, that's where home is.
Not really. The company is based in the US, so it was founded in the US. However, the CEO, the founder, Rudadrep, is right now in Poland. And I'm right now in Albania, in Tirana. And before I was in Germany for a while. And then we have team members from, some are in the US, some are in India, some are in Egypt, really around the world. But we have a team call every Friday where all the members from the core team come together and we exchange on all the updates from the week. And so also the core team is, you know, connecting the world, I would say, in this sense.
Okay, so no need for a geographic location. Technology allows you to be anywhere you want.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, how do you manage the people? Because you're spread in over 100 countries, and I would like to assume the positive side of people, but we also have to be realistic that sometimes people in a faraway place are not doing what they promised they're going to do. So how do you manage people when they're physically on the other side of the world? And is that do you just trust their self-motivation, or how can you help them?
One important aspect is to select the right people. So to make sure that in the application process that we select people who are most likely to complete the challenge. But then the AI challenge is also managed by us. So we have a project manager, we have different roles in the teams. We have a minimum requirement of hours per week that people commit to. We have every week, we have an update call, and we have an infrastructure where we can, you know, check on the activity and the exchange of information and the conversations that are happening to make sure that the collaboration is happening in the most effective way. So it's not just a team coming together, it's managed by us, and we have built the processes to make this work. It is still a bottom-up collaboration, so there's not somebody on the top saying how to do things. Everyone in the challenge can take on a task, can experiment and try out certain aspects. Of course, they have to be connected to the problem statement, to the project, but there is room for experimentation. There's room for trying yourself out.
Great. Now, it's good to hear that. So far, what have been the key milestones in your life?
In my personal life?
Yes.
Key milestones. Well, I think I think that a key milestone has been, to be very honest, what comes to mind, I will just share, to fall in love first time. That was one key milestone, where I had a girlfriend for many years, and I learned about being very close and falling in love with a person, and I learned a lot about that. That made me more open person, made me more connected to my emotions. And then in this time, I was also studying, and I was quite motivated to study, and I did quite, you know, well in terms of my studies, and that was also fine, but I was also very stressed. And then at one point, I was so stressed that my body was reacting to it, and I saw that my body was not happy with what was happening. That was also a key milestone, to listen to my body and to see, okay, there's something off here. And then I went to, as I mentioned earlier, to Japan, where I was getting interested in meditation. And that was another key milestone. Meditation, really listening to yourself, to your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and really connecting with this. And that was essential. And then another key milestone was meeting actually Rudadrip and talking about Om Dena and getting started with Om Dena. That was a very big milestone. And I'm very grateful for this. And I would say, yeah, those were quite key milestones that came to mind now. Yeah.
Now, if I may observe, I like the fact that you define your milestones linked to you as a person and not as much as the organizational success. So it's an interesting observation to make. So I was wondering, where do you draw your inspiration from?
I would say from experience. So what I mentioned earlier, experience is being right now, I'm in Albania, in Tirana, and one thing that I do is, for example, I don't have my phone with me. I usually have it only in the morning. I leave it in my apartment, and then I pick it up in the evening. And when I'm in a cafe or I'm in a restaurant, I'm not browsing around, but I'm more observing. And so I see some things that are happening in the streets, and yeah, and that gives you inspiration, that gives you ideas. So that's one aspect, the life itself, just, you know, opening up yourself, giving yourself space so that new information can flow in. And also silence, right? It's not always old information. Also just being with yourself, there's nothing happening. That's a very beautiful space to be. And then I'm reading books also. So I'm reading books on various different aspects. I'm looking into history. When I'm traveling, I'm trying to understand more about the place that I'm in, to get more like the context of what has been happening here and how it has been shaping the place and how it's right now. And then I get inspiration from all the events and meetings in the Om Dena community, where people share the results from projects. And we have these local chapters where we have success growth stories from community members. And that gives me a lot of inspiration. And I think that's really how I like to spend my time, to dive into this and see this. And then alternate it also with space, right? Not doing it all the time, but also giving space so that you have time to make the connections and reflect and be part of the process, really, and not rushing through it. That's how I get my inspiration. But then also through the hardships and also through the difficult aspects of being a digital nomad, for example, and traveling around the world and being in new places, because you build connections, then you go, you lose those connections, at least physically, at least it's hard to maintain them. So there are also difficult aspects where there's a certain sense of aloneness, and you are in one place and then you have to think about the next place at one point. So there's a question of, okay, where am I going? Do I need to go anywhere anyway? So there are also these questions, these more essential questions that pop up, but they are very important, right? So even if it makes you feel uncomfortable and there's a certain sadness sometimes happening, that tells you as much as if you are happy. And so it's not a question of good or bad, it's just, you know, the full picture. So that I can also share. It's not all, you know, it sounds maybe, oh yeah, you can go to all of these places, you're a digital nomad and you explore this and you learn here. And nowadays everyone is putting this on Instagram and showing all the good moments. And but it's never like this, right? There's always, there's the joy, the happiness, but then there's also the sadness and there's the slow moments. And that's very, very normal. And by looking at this and understanding this, it becomes not a bad thing anymore. It's just a natural thing that is happening. And yeah, and I'm also glad for these moments. So what I want to say is, if somebody maybe is listening and saying, oh, that sounds all great and all that, you know, the traveling and that's amazing, there are also downsides to it. And this is not the secret to life. Digital nomads, this is not the secret to life. It has many beautiful aspects, but there are also downsides. And embracing all of that, I think that's the goal anyway in life, right? Embracing everything, not just one aspect.
Okay. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for being so opening and sharing your thoughts about you as an individual and the success of Omdena. One or two last questions from my side. Omdena, one of the biggest AI communities in this world. Is it just a job or is it a mission? And is there a world beyond Omdena for you?
So it's not just a job. It's it's a mission, a vision, and it's just an expression of life. That's how I see it. An expression, my life, but that's just one perspective. I think it's just an expression of life. And I think life happens in a collaborative manner. And we are talking now and people are listening and there are so many interactions happening. And that's what I think Omdena is really about. So I'm very glad to be part of the journey. And I'm not thinking too much about, you know, what happens after, or I'm just really trying to be, you know, present and putting my energy into what is happening now and trying to do the best that I can. And sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it works. And that's okay, right? That's just the process. But always getting back to, okay, taking responsibility and trying your best. And then you will see, right? Then you automatically you enjoy when you do that. If you're too much concerned about next things and this, then this what is happening right now is passing by and you're missing out and you're not enjoying anymore. You're getting rushed, you're getting in the rush mode again. So I try to be present, enjoy this, and I'm grateful for being part of it. And then we will see what happens.
Okay. Hey, Michael, great advice. Stay in the present. But mind you, I will follow where your journey is going to take you, because I think you're doing awesome stuff, not only using AI to help solve the world's big complex problems, but also how you use the community model to get there. So I wish you well on your journey and thank you for sharing this information with us.
Well, thanks a lot, Fritz. It was very nice connecting back after a while. And yeah, and thanks to everyone listening. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this, and I wish you all the best, and enjoy.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.